Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're asking the question, does good luck or hard work get you more money?
Oh yeah, we've got the perfect episode for St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, we do.
Good luck or hard work, man? Which does it come down to? We're going to talk about that today. And a quick little personal tip for folks today. Don't drink the green beer.
No.
We kind of jokingly thought about doing that here today on the show. But instead, for this episode, we have a purple beer. Very much not green. And dude, you know, I don't even think I've ever had green beer in my life before. Have you?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's...
That's not how we roll.
Frat guy thing is what people associated with it for the most part. But
I mean, like a St. Patrick's Day, like if you go down to Savannah, like they used to like dye like the river and stuff like that. I mean, they do that up in Chicago too, don't they? Where they like dye the entire river green or whatever.
Maybe. But, I mean, that sounds like fun. That sounds cool. But drinking green beer, I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially if you're drinking good beer, usually you don't want to like, I don't know, put foreign
soil liquids. It with fake coloring.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure, man.
But real quick, before we get into that discussion, Matt, good luck versus hard work, I wanted to mention and bring up the fact that sometimes pill splitting can be a cost-saving measure for people to undertake if they're like taking a certain medication.
Okay, so you're talking about medicine.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, you can like either cut it with a knife sometimes, or you can buy a pill splitter, and sometimes that can make your money go further when it comes to the medication you take. I would suggest consulting your doctor before you actually go this route. But my wife is actually lowering a dosage of a medication that she's been on for a while, and she's taken to cutting it in half with her knife. And actually, what I found too is that if we were to go ahead and buy the pills that at the smaller dosage, those pills cost more than the pills that have a higher dosage.
Oh, seriously.
And I think it's just because they produce so many more of them. That's just a quantity that more people take.
Oh, crazy. So if you want the lower dosage, if you want the specialty milligram pill, it's going to cost you a premium.
Exactly. So she's going from 10 milligram to 5 milligram. And so instead,
and she's not going to pay more.
Right. It's just going to make more sense to actually get the 10 milligram pills. We'll pay less and then they'll get doubled. Essentially, it's like we'll pay like 70% less by just splitting those pills, which
that's
is
smart.
Yeah, so just a quick tip to anybody out there, if that's possible for you, if it works for you, pill splitting can be a good way to save some money.
Yeah, and actually we used to do that not with pills but with vitamins, because a lot of people have, you know, different opinions on vitamins. Some folks are like, you're just enriching your pee because like so much of it we just leaves our body, right? It's not something that's absorbed. And so for a while there we were thinking, you know, what's the point in like completely loading our bodies up occasionally whenever we do take a vitamin. Instead, why don't we just cut it in half? So yeah, that's something we were doing there for a minute. But yeah, that's a good thought when it comes to medication. And it's a good word too to definitely check with your doctor to make sure that you're doing this in conjunction with their advice, yeah. You know, because you want to make sure that whatever that dosage is the, you know, a proper amount of medicine to still kind of treat whatever condition or to have the same effects that you're looking for.
Yeah, and some pills are not meant to be split and others can be without any problems. So yeah, consult your doctor. Don't be like, but how do money Joel said to split the pill?
And I've like, got a gel cap here. How do I split that?
I am not a medical expert by any stretch of the imagination. I would check with even WebMD before checking with me. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and yeah, we know how fraught WebMD is with advice.
Right. Exactly. I am worse than that. But let's mention the beer we're having, Matt. You did mention that this beer is purple, and it is. This one's called Fruit Mine Slushy XL, and we had a Slushy XL on Monday's episode. This one also from my neighbor, Mark. It's kind of a juice box style, interesting beer. We'll talk about this one and give our thoughts at the end of the episode.
Yes, we will.
All right, well, on to the subject at hand. We're asking the question, does good luck or hard work get you more money? And, of course, we're talking about luck because it's St. Paddy's Day. Let's quickly kind of discuss where the phrase, the luck of the Irish, came from.
Ooh.
A little history lesson
Fill
here.
Me in.
it was, interestingly enough, it didn't stem from Ireland. The phrase came around back in California in the gold rush of the 1800s. It turns out that many of the folks who were striking it rich were of Irish descent.
Okay.
So the folks who had been prospecting and not striking it rich, they began to call their Irish counterparts lucky. And the phrase, the luck of the Irish, stems from those quote-unquote lucky Irish miners, and the phrase still gets used today. So when those accusations of luck were initially made, they were meant to be derogatory. Like, you guys don't know what you're doing. You're just, like, by happenstance, getting rich doing this mining. Telling someone who worked hard to acquire something that they only got it because they were lucky is a pretty offensive thing to say, right? Mm. And today, it's taking on a less offensive life of its own. that phrase, the luck of the Irish. But luck and hard work are two of the hardest things to pull apart. There are so many elements of both when it comes to achieving success in life. And that's what we wanted to talk about on the show today. Like, what role does each play in our personal finances?
Yeah, it makes me think of just all the stories out there of talented sports players that like crush it at the college level, but then who don't continue to hone their skills, and then they kind of crash and burn when they make it to the big leagues. There are just as many stories of players like in true Rocky fashion that outworked everyone else in order to achieve big league success. You know, like Tom Brady comes to mind here when you check out his scouting report and the fact that he was drafted in the last round of the NFL draft. Like, nobody expected much of him, but now he is like the undisputed best quarterback of all time, right? And so a lot of hard work went into that. And so when it comes to our money, the problem is like we're often not sure of the role that luck plays in our lives. Like some might chalk everything up to luck, while others want to claim all the credit themselves and say it was all hard work. But a proper perspective on the roles that luck and hard work play in our lives is really important to have.
Yeah, so we're going to discuss kind of the specific roles that each play in our personal finances. But first, I think it's important to step back and say, we're all lucky. Like, everybody listening to this podcast, you and I both, we have to acknowledge how lucky we are. And let's take a moment and kind of dissect that, how lucky we are. There are a few compelling points that will really help us see that in stark detail. We're really lucky, I would say, to be alive at this specific time in history, right? Anyone who's listening to this podcast has a whole lot that they can attribute to pure random luck. You didn't necessarily choose to be born in the era you were born in, right? That wasn't really up for debate. No one asked you before you came out of your mother's womb, hey, how's 1984 going to be as a birthday year for you? And you didn't have that option. It just kind of happened. And the most recent decades have been the most prosperous years in world history. And Matt, I think a perfect person to turn to kind of help us see how lucky we are is some of the work that Professor Steven Pinker has done. He wrote a book called Enlightenment Now, in which he gives a lot of evidence as to why the world is becoming a better place to live, which, the better it becomes, the luckier we are to live in times like this. 3 decades ago, 30% of the world was living in poverty conditions. Now, just 10% of the world it falls under that status. And on a historical timeline, that's a massive improvement in just the blink of an eye, really. We'll link to his TED Talk where you can be overwhelmed at the sheer amount of positive human progress in the short span of half of a century. But he just lists statistic after statistic after statistic about how good things have gotten. And honestly, the fact that we're alive in this digital revolution at this specific time in history means that we're all lucky in large part.
That's right. Yeah. And because of the era that we live in, we are all lucky to live in relative safety as well. If you're listening to the podcast, you almost inevitably live in a place that allows you access to almost unlimited information, but you also likely live in a place with stable electricity, clean running water, and proper sanitation systems as well. And so because of that, we live in a highly functional society, which gives us more security and safety compared to centuries before, and even just decades ago, And so luck plays a major factor here, and it's worth acknowledging that even if you have had some tough breaks in your life, when you zoom out, you can see that we are all quite fortunate in terms of this historical timeline.
Yeah, and these, of course, are things that we do not have any control over, right? Like, someone who was born 200 years ago can't change that fact. And you can't change whether you were born into the richest country in the world or the poorest. That is purely a factor of luck. You can't change whether you were born into political chaos, war, famine, or into a country of relative stability. And most of us are truly lucky to have the modern developments that have helped our world become what it is today. So after the break, we're going to talk about the spectrum of luck and hard work and how each one has a massive amount of influence on our personal finances, and we'll get to that next.
All right, we just discussed how lucky we are, and most of the folks listening to this podcast are, right? And we feel that it is important to acknowledge luck because it's true. Acknowledging what is true is important because luck just plays such a massive role in all of our lives. And if we refuse to acknowledge it, we're essentially lying to ourselves. Evidence also suggests that the more we diminish the role that luck plays in our lives, the more likely we are to avoid generosity. And so we become less likely to support the actual institutions that allowed our success to happen in a lot of cases.
Yeah, understanding luck, Matt, like keeps us humble, really, right? So instead of saying, I'm a self-made person and it's all on me, and then we kind of become almost antagonistic to some of the role that luck has played and some of like the societal benefit that we receive from where we live and when we live, understanding the role that luck plays does breed some humility. And not all success is due to our work ethic and our ability to grind it out. You know, giving credit to something outside of ourselves keeps our head from inflating and keeps our egos in check.
Yeah, that's important.
It is, yeah. And at the same time, if you're in a tough position, there's a good chance that it's not entirely all your fault or for a lack of trying. So don't be scared to give luck its proper due in your life. It makes us more able to deal with both success and failure.
That is right. And, you know, there's a continuum, too, between thinking that everything in our lives is 100% due to luck versus it being all hard work, right? If you think it's all luck, you'll be playing the lottery tonight and every night afterwards.
And you'll be winning every time,
most likely. And you'll think that, you know, like discipline and hard work, that those things don't matter when it comes to achieving your goals. And so when it comes to your money, that likely means that you don't have a plan. You basically, you know, are going to do whatever you feel like doing. And that's obviously not a great approach, as you're not thinking highly enough of your own capabilities.
Yeah. And at the other end of that spectrum, if you believe that it's 100% hard work and that's the only influence that plays a role in your life, you'll probably be overly optimistic and not really grounded in reality. You might think that you can literally do anything, and you might think less of anyone who isn't achieving and crushing their goals, right? And in that scenario, you aren't thinking clearly about the limitations that you face. For example, even with a ton of work, Matt, it's highly unlikely that I'm going to become a NASA scientist, right? Especially at the ripe old age of 37. I just think that if I went in that direction, I'd be thinking too highly of my abilities. Hard work can get me a lot of places, but I'm probably never going to get the role that like Ed Harris had in Apollo 13. You know, like I'm not going
to
be like
the one talking to Tom Hanks.
Right? Yeah. Okay. I'm not getting that role at NASA. Like it's not just highly unlikely, it's pretty much impossible, right? And so, you know, I think, yeah, if you think everything is hard work, I can achieve that, I can get there. We're not living in reality. We're probably like living in space, right?
That's true. And so, you know, in our real everyday lives, we're somewhere in the middle, obviously, right? Like our lives are part hard work and part luck. But the big lesson here is that it's really important that we put in the hard work first in order to take advantage of the lucky breaks that come our way. So the sequence here is really important because an opportunity that presents itself is just an opportunity unless you are able to act on it, right? And so if you've put in the work and you're prepared, then that opportunity is now seen as a lucky break. So, for example, when I was working as a graphic designer back in my advertising days, I was also honing my abilities as a photographer at the same time. And it was a service our agency was providing to clients. But a year later, when I saw a great opportunity for photography to become my full-time gig, I was able to take a chance. And so I didn't throw away my shot.
like Alexander Hamilton.
Just like Hamilton. That's right.
I'm not going throwing away. I don't know. I can't sing it. I'm not going to even try. I just tried. I
don't do it. You shouldn't have done it. Kate and I we've only seen it once. And we keep saying that we want to sit down and kind of rewatch the whole thing again. But we never saw it in person, obviously.
Yeah, me neither.
I ain't got that kind of money.
But, but man, just the what's on Disney Plus. It's so good.
It's great, man.
So good. Yeah, my wife listens to that on repeat. But it's so true, right? Like that sometimes you get a shot and you have to take it, but hard work is a huge part of capitalizing on that luck.
Yeah, it allows you to do it.
Yeah. And you and I think that hard work basically always precedes what many folks might call a lucky break. We would say you can increase your chances of experiencing the benefits of luck in your life. There are things you can do, you have the power of, to get luckier, right?
That's right.
And it makes me think, Matt, about a book I recently read called The Biggest Bluff by Maria Konnikova. And Maria is a psychologist who decided she was going to learn how to play poker. She had all sorts of preconceived notions of what being a poker player might look like. And she notes, too, in the book that she assumed too much about the role of luck in the outcome of the game. She realized quickly just how much hard work goes into winning at poker. Mm-hmm. And more specifically, how much effort is required to increase your chances for success. It's a fascinating book, and it really helps you see that even in a game where chance abounds, right, the ability to get lucky certainly exists. There's a ton of skill and hard work that goes into it. And really, just like we were talking about, talking about with, you know, launching your own photography business, the most successful poker players put in all that hard work and then they get those lucky breaks that they take advantage of. But they wouldn't be able to take advantage of them without the former.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's a reason that you see some of the same people at the final table of the major poker events, you know, year after year, right? It's not that there are no bad beats or that luck doesn't play a role. It's just that hard work and knowing the game plays a more important role in the final outcome. And so another example of what, you know, many would call luck is that Joel, you and I both, we were able to take advantage of an $8,000 federal tax credit for first time home buyers. You know, were we fortunate, you know, to be able to score a sweet discount on our homes back in 2009? Totally. You know, it was a great opportunity. But because we had worked hard before that opportunity presented itself and saved up a 20% down payment first, we were able to take advantage of that opportunity. Just like you said, hard work always precedes, you know, a lucky break. Luck favors the prepared. And so that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about being prepared.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. The people that get the luckiest are often the people that have worked the hardest. It doesn't always work out that way, but certainly hard work plays a major role in how lucky we're able to get.
Most def, man.
Yeah, but the title of this episode was, does good luck or hard work get you more money? And so we've done a good job, I think, of kind of outlining the roles of both luck and hard work when it comes to like how those things play out in our lives. But we got to get to some specific examples where when it comes to our personal finances, valuing one more than the other, valuing luck too much, or valuing hard work maybe too much, could be a detriment to us. And so we've got some specific examples that we think are going to help drive this point home and help us have a more balanced and a better approach to our personal finances if we could hold these two things in tension properly. We'll get to those right after this break.
All right, before the break, you and I, we were talking about how luck, you know, basically favors the prepared. And we've identified the fact that luck is an inevitable aspect of life that can, you know, have a pretty large impact on our lives. However, we don't have control over the luck in our lives, right? But we do have control over our actions, you know, like what we spend our time doing. So it's important for us to focus on the things that we can control. You know, like that's what we need to spend our time and energy on. And so let's talk through some examples that pertain to our money.
Okay, let's start with one from like the workplace. Yeah. And we might hear someone, a friend who's landed an amazing job. It's really fun and the pay is awesome. And, you know, the default reaction we might think is, wow, you just got really lucky. And maybe we're a little bit jealous. That probably plays a little bit of a role there, right?
As you say it through your teeth.
Oh, so lucky. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. But like that would discount if we just attributed that all to luck. Maybe some of the hard work that it's taken them to get there. Some of the hard work that we can't even see, right? And likely it's years of education or doing great work at their former job that really elevated them to this point where they could get this dream job that they're super excited about. I think too, like we often assume we don't have the connections to get the job we want. That's one thing that I hear people say a lot, like my network's not good enough. I don't know the right people. And connections are, of course, in the world of, you know, the workplace and getting another job with that's better, that you enjoy more with higher pay. Connections are important in that. They're assumed though to be completely luck related. Who you know is all lucky breaks, but that's often not the case either. I mean, you might bump into the perfect person on an airplane or at a hotel bar that helps your career in a big way, but that's rare. That's not usually how networking works. Networking often involves a great deal of effort in most cases, a lot of intentionality and work over a period of time to build up a solid and stable network. So it's just interesting that even in that like work atmosphere that we're talking about here, Matt, it's not that luck doesn't play any role, but it's just, I think we can see when we kind of dissect it a little bit that hard work often plays a much bigger role.
Yeah, it takes a lot of hard work. And here's the thing too, is that it doesn't happen overnight, right? You can't just like spend all night working through your network and growing those relationships, because that's not how relationships work.
You can't pull a college all-nighter.
Right. No, exactly.
Drink eight cups of coffee and call it a day.
Yeah, it makes me think of a friend of the show, Jordan Harbinger. He says to dig the well before you're thirsty. This is another example of how networking is more than luck. You know, it's a skill that you can and that you likely should develop. You can even turn networking into a habit like Jordan does, you know, reaching out to someone every day via email or by text. And so just don't assume that developing that network is purely a result of luck.
Yeah, let's get to another personal finance example here when it comes to the role of luck and hard work. And let's talk about vehicles for a second, Matt. Someone might say, I'm unlucky because I have a car that's constantly in need of repairs, right? It's costing me money. It's costing me time. It's a major annoyance.
Right.
And you know what? It can be true. There are lemons out there, right? There are lemon laws in certain states to protect consumers from buying a car that has consistent issues. And there's a reason that those exist. But there's also a way that most people can protect themselves on the front end from getting unlucky when it comes to a vehicle purchase. And that involves a little effort, a little hard work. So putting that forth instead on the front end will make sure that you're buying a car that doesn't get horrible reviews, maybe on a site like Consumer Reports. That can really steer you in the right direction. And two, the effort and small expense to have that car checked out by your mechanic is another way that you're more likely to purchase a car, a great car that'll treat you well for years to come.
Yeah, oftentimes there's a reason that we don't do that. It's because it takes work. Right. It's inconvenient. It's not something that you want to do. It's not something I really want to do. But when you take those steps ahead of time, it prevents you from purchasing a car full of somebody else's problems.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, that little bit of hard work, maybe that little bit of money on the front end, it's like this really cheap insurance policy, essentially, from getting an unlucky break.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the same is true, too, of like tenant horror stories. You know, if you're a real estate investor, it's assumed that rotten luck was the reason you had a tenant who didn't take care of your place. And two, it's like the number one reason we hear people say that they don't want to get into real estate investing, right? But screening a tenant well is the answer here. That takes a little bit of work, you know, but that extra effort that it takes to screen potential tenants well will make all the difference in your experience and your ability to have a successful real estate venture.
Yeah, and if that's you, if you've been put off by real estate investing because you've heard tenant horror stories and you're like, I don't want that. Understandably, you don't want that. But seriously, you can prevent that in almost all cases. Yeah, by a little bit of hard work. We talked about managing rental properties effectively in episode 269 if you want a little more information on that. Matt, let's move on to investing, another segment of personal finance. Yeah, where luck and hard work have an interesting relationship. Behavioral economists have found that when investment returns are good, investors are more likely to praise their own skills. And when their investments aren't doing so hot, they blame bad luck. And so it's just nice that you can do that, right, to make yourself feel better. But it's funny how that happens, right? It's not that some stock pickers don't have skill, right? There are people out there that have done a great job investing in companies over decades, and they've seen great performance. You know, Warren Buffett is one of those people. There's certainly skill in assessing companies, finding their value, and buying undervalued companies. Figure out which ones you think will perform better in the coming years. But it takes a whole lot of hard work in order to get lucky by putting your money and investing your money in the right company, in the right stock.
Right. Yeah. And for regular investors, you know, with day jobs like us, you might assume that luck is the most important factor when investing, you know, but in fact, it is not. Regularly investing and staying diversified is going to be your best chance at success. That and keeping costs down are crucial. And those factors don't involve luck at all. It's just a small amount of knowledge and then taking action. Like the real work that happens here is just sticking to the plan. It's not getting lucky and choosing, you know, some stock that like shoots to the moon, right?
Right, yeah. But especially in today's environment, when speculation has become rampant, I feel like everybody assumes that the stock market is a casino and they're trying to get in on some quick gains, some quick cash. But that is not investing. That is something altogether different.
Yeah.
And that it would involve luck, right? Speculation does involve luck. But actually investing doesn't involve luck. It really does. Matt, like you said, it's the fundamentals and it requires the hard work, not only to learn those fundamentals, but then to implement them on the regular by continually investing, right?
Right.
And all that being said too, we can spend too much time thinking about luck and its role in our lives. If we attribute too much of what happens in our lives to random chance, we're far more likely to not put in the hard work that's needed to capitalize on opportunities that come our way. At some point, we all have to make something of the luck that we've been dealt. And though acknowledging luck is crucial, it's really important, there's a hope that arises, I think, when we see our own ability to make a dent in our circumstances or pursue the financial future that we want for ourselves and for our families. If we think of luck too highly and we think that it plays an outsized role in our lives, it's in all likelihood going to lead to a little bit of like paralysis in our own ability to do the things that we need to do to provide a better future for ourselves.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and stories of luck just really aren't that compelling because there's no real takeaway there, right? It's just like, okay, here's somebody like, there's not a, I don't know, maybe there is a show out there that,
well, there was a show that
just documents this.
There was a show that followed lottery winners for a couple seasons.
Oh my gosh.
I forget on what channel it was, but, and when you look at the statistics and when you looked at some of these people, when it's easy come, easy go, when you win the lottery and you make tens of millions of dollars overnight, usually you spend tens of millions of dollars overnight too. And so that luck, even that, when it is easy come, easy go like that, you don't know how to treat it well. And even though you got lucky, you get unlucky pretty quick after that too.
Right. I mean, and what's interesting about their story is the fact that it's a spectacle, right? Like,
totally.
Like how they have just completely either squandered their money or, you know, done something irresponsible with it. But like them just kind of coming into that money though, isn't all that interesting. Like I was saying before, because like there's nothing that we can do about that, you know? And so like, why hear these stories of people who had lucky breaks essentially, because there's nothing replicable about that versus hard work. Like that is inspiring because that's something that we can all do ourselves, right? You know, like luck is kind of like wind when riding a bike, I feel like. Like sometimes it's at your back, but sometimes it's hitting you right in the face. But the fact is, we do not have control over that wind. And so either way, we got to keep pedaling. And again, of course, our lives are both a combination of hard work and luck together. They both come into play, but we only have control over one of those things. And so to acknowledge luck doesn't diminish the hard work we can and should engage in. And that's in every facet of life, including our personal finances. But, you know, again, if we ascribe too much to the role that luck plays, it will make us reticent to take action where we can. And that will truly have a negative effect on us, as well as how we handle our money.
Gotta agree with you there, man.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to do a St. Patty's Day themed episode. We knew St. Patty's Day was coming up, and we were like, this is going to be an interesting topic to cover. Like, what role does this play? And I think hopefully we were able to dissect it well. But Matt, let's get back to the beer that we had on the show. Not a green beer, fortunately, because we don't stoop to that level. this one was called Fruit Mine Slushy XL. And so, I don't know, I actually feel like we are kind of stooping with this beer a little bit, because it looks like it's in a juice box container like the one that we had on Monday did. This one's by 450 North Brewing Company. My neighbor Mark donated this one to the show. Yeah, what were your thoughts on this Berliner Weiss with blackcurrant, blackberry, and tart cherry?
Yeah, what's interesting about it too, is so it's called Fruit Mine, and the graphics on it are all in like blocky pixel characters, not unlike Minecraft. And so it's almost as if they are kind of marketing it towards at least people who play Minecraft. I'm not gonna say they're trying to
12-year-olds
market it to kids or anything like that. But it definitely does have that theme going on. But it totally reminds me of the red slushy that you get if you go to the gas station. You know? Like it just tastes like berry. It tastes like red. Like that's the flavor of this beer, is red. It's not green, it's red. But I did enjoy this one, man. It had some nice, rich, different berry undercurrents going on. But at the same time, it was a nice balance between being sweet as well as being tart. It was good. Yeah, how about you, man?
You can tell they used a lot of fruit in the making of this beer, and I am down with fruit-laden beers. I like super fruity beers, and so yeah, this one had just, it was like almost like a puree, so I totally understand why they called it a slushy. It was like a really, really thick slushy style beer, and yeah, I think some people who aren't into fruit-heavy beers might feel a little overwhelmed when this hits their palate, but even though it was beastly, I thought it was pretty good, so I was glad to get to try it.
And you got to feel like you're getting your dose of antioxidants today as well, right? It's like, you don't worry about taking your vitamins like we talked about earlier on in the episode. Just make sure you pick up one of these.
Exactly. Pick up your Fruit Mine Slushy XL and you got your fruit intake for the
day. That's right.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. For folks who want the show notes for this episode, just go to our website at howtomoney.com.
That's right. And if you enjoyed this episode and if you've been listening for a while, we would love for you to leave some feedback over at Apple Podcasts. We would really like it if you left us a solid review. And if you've already done that, it would be great if you could let a friend or a family member know about the show. Our goal is for personal finances and for money to be a topic of conversation in more of our circles. So thank you in advance for that. And Joel, that's going to be it for this episode, buddy. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.